first reading is from Acts, chapter 10. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who are chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, beginning in the 15th chapter. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which you also are being saved. If you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Before I read the gospel, I just want to remind you where we are in our story. We're in the Gospel of Mark, and in Mark's telling, none of the followers of Jesus stay nearby during the crucifixion. All the men have gone into hiding, and even the few women who stuck around watched from a safe distance. Then, after his body's taken down from the cross and wrapped in linen cloth, two of the women, two Marys, follow Joseph of Arimathea and watch as he places Jesus' body in a tomb and seals the tomb with a stone. That's where chapter 15 ends, on Good Friday, with the crucifixion, the death, and the sealing of the tomb. Then nothing at all happens on Saturday because it's the Sabbath. And the assumption is that the women went home and honored the Sabbath. And then that brings us to today, Sunday morning. In the Gospel according to Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. On Good Friday, this past Friday, during worship, we heard the same readings that we hear every year as we remember the suffering and the death of Jesus. But for some reason this year, I was struck by the last line of the last reading, which said that after the stone was rolled in front of the tomb, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. And that's where we left it. We heard that final line, we sang a hymn, and then we left, leaving the sanctuary dark and draped in black. Now, we knew as we went home that when we came back today, the sanctuary would be bright and full of flowers and alleluias. But the Marys were not expecting that kind of transformation. They came back on Sunday morning expecting things to be exactly as they left them on Friday. Even though Jesus had repeatedly told his followers that he would die and be raised again on Sunday morning, the 12 were still in hiding, and the women are going not in search of the resurrected Jesus, but with spices to anoint his dead body. They're still living in the grief and the trauma of Good Friday. They're still accepting the finality of death with no hope of new life. And as they walk, the women ask each other, "Who will roll the stone away?" A question that serves two purposes in this story. It shows us what they were expecting to find, exactly what they had left on Friday. And for us, the readers, it brings to mind, it foreshadows the answer that we already know. Who will roll the stone away? God will. Who will crack open the tomb and pry open death itself? God will. And God has. Then once the women arrive at the empty tomb, a heavenly messenger tells them the good news that Jesus has been raised. He's not here, they're told. You're looking for Jesus in a place of death and endings, but he's not here. So go and tell the others the good news, especially Peter, because you know he's beating himself up right now, right? Go and tell them all that the tomb is empty and that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there. So the women leave, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The end. What kind of an ending is that? That is not what we expect to hear on Easter, right? We're used to John. No, Mark leaves us with this terrible cliffhanger. They said nothing to anyone. Well, you're not alone if you think this ending is a bit lacking. Early Christians were so uncomfortable with Mark's abrupt ending that they added more verses. We heard Mark's original ending, But Bibles today, if you look in your Bible at home, include two additional endings that try to fix the problem. They try to fix this abrupt stop. The shorter edition has the women going and telling the other disciples. And the longer edition has the resurrected Jesus come and appear to the disciples. Without those additions, Mark is the only gospel where the women leave and don't tell anyone. And Mark is the only gospel that doesn't include stories of the resurrected Jesus. You can see why people have wrestled with this version. But for Mark, the good news is not dependent on the bravery of the disciples or on an impressive account of what the resurrected Jesus said or did. For Mark, the good news is found in the empty tomb and in the promise that Jesus has gone ahead. That is the amazingly good news in Mark's gospel, that the tomb is empty. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The tomb is empty. The ministry and mission of God's love was not stopped by death. The violence, brutality, and abuse of power that led to the cross, they do not have the final word. That is not where the story ends. Instead, the good news is that Jesus is not dead, but has gone on ahead, back to Galilee, the place where Jesus' ministry began, his ministry of healing, feeding, and proclaiming God's love. Even though things are terrifying and overwhelming, the men are still in hiding and the women have run away scared. The good news is that by the power of God, the story continues. Jesus is alive and leading the way. Jesus has gone on ahead, and once again, the disciples are called to follow. If you remember in Mark, at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus calls his disciples with the words, "Follow me." And now, as disciples of the risen Christ, that is still the call, to follow the one who is going ahead, to follow him and continue what he started, continue his ministry of care and his proclamation of love, to continue to live in the new way that he has shown them, to continue to build up God's kingdom. This is both a calling and a promise. We are called to follow, and we are promised that Jesus is going on ahead of us, paving the way for us. We are promised that there is nowhere we can go that Jesus has not already gone. And so here, again, this amazingly good news. The tomb is empty. The story God is writing ends not with death, but with life. And we are called to follow the one who has gone before us, to follow in his path of love and service, trusting in the promise of the resurrection, trusting in the good news that we do not need to be afraid. Because wherever we go in life, and even in death, Jesus has already gone ahead to meet us. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.